Now, before Steve Petrie comes and leads us in prayer, I just want to share a few thoughts with you. Some of them I've written down, some I have not. But our nation has been shaken by recent events. We have witnessed the savage stabbing murder of a 23-year-old Ukrainian refugee in Charlotte, North Carolina. And then most recently, the assassination of Charlie Kirk on Wednesday, September the 10th. And on that same day in Colorado, a student shot two classmates, and that calamity was completely overshadowed by the bloodshed in Utah. Need I remind you that this is the result of the rejection of God and truth? This is where all of that leads. I'd like to ask you to take your Bibles and open them to Romans 1. I've taken you to this passage before. I preached this passage, but I want to bring it to your attention again today in light of what has happened. Romans 1. And look at verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. If there's ever been a culture that has suppressed the truth, it is our culture. We don't want the truth. We don't want to hear the truth. We don't want to be confronted with the truth. We are now a culture that rejects the truth. Verse 19 says, because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. There is no excuse for people to reject the truth. Verse 24, since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through that which was made, so that they are without excuse. I was just telling one of our young people this morning after the new members class, I said, you know that there's a chair maker because you can look at a chair. And you know there's a creator because we can look at his creation. And you have to willfully reject that truth. It's evident. It's evident within men. And then in verse 21, for even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculation and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of incorruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. That's the environmental movement. We, instead of worshiping the Creator, we worship the creation. And then here's what the result of that is. There's a threefold result. Verse 24, therefore God gave them over in the lust of their hearts to impurity so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. There is a sexual outbreak. And some of you are old enough to remember the 1960s and how the morality that was once honored in this country was thrown aside. And so we went through a sexual outbreak. And then in verse 26, for this reason God gave them over to degrading passions, for women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way, also men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire towards one another, men with men, committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. That's a homosexual outbreak. And we are in the midst of that. And we are experiencing the impact of that and the fallout of that. With homosexuality, lesbianism, transgenderism, we're told a man is a woman and a woman is a man. And it doesn't end there. Look at verse 28. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper. So three times we read, God gave them over, God gave them over, God gave them over. And God, in verse 28, gave them over to a depraved mind. Some of your translations may read, reprobate mind. That is the word adokimos. It means to test and to be found useless. It's minds that don't function properly. It's insanity. It's calling a 6'6", 240-pound man a woman. That's insanity. And then this is where it leads. Verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy. Say it with me, the next word. Murder. Murder. And you can read the rest of those things. When God is rejected, this is the result. And that's what we're seeing in our nation. That's what we're seeing in our culture right now. And we as believers understand why this is happening. Now, what can we do in times like this? What can we do as we face more of this and face it closer to home? I want to give you four things that we can do. One, we need to cling to the truth of Lamentations 3. The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. In a world gripped by evil, this truth anchors us because it does not change. We know the steadfast character of our God. His mercies are new every morning. His promises endure in every season. He is a shield for his people. And we are reminded that while everything around us shifts and nations rage and tragedy strike and life is fragile, God does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is a God who pardons sin. He gives peace that endures. He strengthens you for today. He promises hope for future days ahead. And when fear arises and our hearts grow weary, we can rest in the unshakable truth. The Lord who has carried his people through every generation will carry us still. And morning by morning, his hand will provide all we need until the day that we see him face to face. Number two, pray that God will show mercy to this nation. We certainly don't deserve it, but pray for his mercy. And then three, be bold and courageous. The world hates the truth. It has always hated the truth. That's one of the reasons the Jews wanted Jesus dead. And the further our culture moves from the truth, the more we'll experience their hatred. And it will take more courage than ever to speak about judgment that awaits sinners and that Jesus is the only way of salvation. And then fourth, be ready to die. I want to ask, are you ready to die? You don't know when death is coming. And you don't want to die without Christ. Life is perilous. Life is fragile. Life is short. And all of us are living on borrowed time. And we don't know when we're going to die. And so you need to be ready. Are you ready to die? Steve, would you come and lead us in prayer?
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are eternally grateful that you have called us to yourself. Lord, we look around at the magnificence of your creation, the things that confuse a lost world, the things that they can't explain, but just show your power, your majesty. You are a great God, and you're a good God. And for reasons beyond our understanding, you have chosen to create a people that you have called your children, your bride. You have put into motion plans to redeem us, that your Son came into this world to pay a penalty that was due us, that we may have hope and an eternal future with you. Lord, this world does not understand that. This world has become dark. But sin has always been here, Lord, since the fall. And yet your hand has also been there. You have sought fit to protect your people, to protect your word, because there are times coming where things will come to an end, where judgment will be the last call. And we, Lord, have the responsibility to go out there bravely with courage and to proclaim this truth that we hold dear. We have those in our midst who are struggling physically, different health reasons. We have financial issues going on in the church. We have a long list, and you're aware of them, Lord. And we should pray for them, and we should support each other, and we should lift each other up, Lord. But at the end of the day, these lives are yours. They're not ours. You provide everything to us. We own nothing. And Lord, we want to live our lives that way. That everything that we do, everything that we say, brings people to you. And that may cost us our lives, but that is okay, Lord, because you tell us that to live is Christ, but to die is gain, because we get to spend eternity with you. How great a gift. A gift that we don't deserve, but a gift that you provided. And we just praise your name. So I pray, Lord, that you would bless this congregation, bless our families, and even bless our nation. But in all that, Lord, may you be glorified, and may your will be done. For you and you alone are faithful and trustworthy. And we praise your name. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.